Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid at 5-6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Heck of a day to be here filling in for Dana. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X are great ways to stay connected to her. She's all over social media, though. You can find content from Dana Lash and her team a bunch of places. So go check all of that out. She was tweeting about some of what happened over the weekend, I think as recently as today. All right, let's get into it. Obviously, the big story today, all day, I guess I should say, I was going to say this morning, but it's an all day thing, has been the third attempted killing of our president and actually everybody in his cabinet. The person who attempted to harm the president over the weekend at the White House Correspondents' Dinner to kill him was intent on taking any lives, even the lives of just random people like wait staff that he would have encountered on his way to trying to take the life of the president of the United States. That's what we know from the manifesto. Now, granted, I will go ahead and preface any audio I play with there are members of media who are still pretending they don't know why this person wanted to commit this horrible crime, even though there's a tremendous amount of information out there. There's even archived tweets that might have been taken down by who knows what government organization trying to hide this stuff. But nonetheless, there's a whole lot of evidence that this was a deranged, far-left, California teacher, lunatic human who wanted to take President Trump's life because he has bought into the indoctrination stuff that's out there, the media theories and whatnot and craziness that's out there that claims that Trump is a horrible, evil king human running this country in a way that he obviously isn't and can't. But let's start with this. Let's start with President Trump actually calling in to Fox News. He was talking about the manifesto, about the hatred in this person's heart, not just for Trump, but for like religious organizations, for Christians in general, which was kind of disturbing. Let's start there.
Latest that you've learned, Mr. President, about this alleged shooter's motive. Do you know how long he was planning this for?
Well, they have some pretty good information. He had a lot of hatred in his heart for quite a while. And it was a religious thing. It was strongly anti-Christian. And I don't know if you've gotten it. Just got released, the manifesto. He said a manifesto. Can you believe it? And so he's got some big problems with the rest of his life. Very, very bad.
Yes, he does.
Bad situation.
On that same,
I like President Trump nonchalantly saying he's got some big problems for the rest of his life because he hopefully will be in jail. I assume he'll be in jail for the rest of his life. Just like the other guy who tried to kill President Trump about a year ago on his golf course. This is the third attempt at the president's life. One of the more valuable things to dive into, I'll do a little of it now. We'll do more of it later because I do want to play a lot of audio as we open this show. But the amount of liberals who say it's completely fine using violence to get what they want. This is something that is very much preached on that side of the political aisle. You had Hakeem Jeffries out there saying total warfare in a quote, which was insane, because why use the word warfare at all to describe the desires for what your side of the aisle would do? A maximum warfare everywhere all the time is the exact quote from social media, which again is radical and insane. But that side of the aisle is fine with this. As I said, I think 25% of liberal people, say it's sometimes justified to use violence. If you look at very conservative people, 3% say that violence is the answer to anything. And that doesn't matter who's in office. If Democrats are in power, Republicans and politicians on that side of the aisle, and certainly voters, social media influencers, whatever you want to say, the thought leaders of the right, they do not advocate for violence. The left is pretending as though they don't do it too, when a whole bunch of people out there are absolutely doing it. There's an article in Slate magazine that I thought was odd, and I didn't necessarily intend to mention it this early on in the show, but it talks about how the failed attempt on President Trump's life will benefit him. It's such an odd take. It seems to almost have an undercurrent of, and these have popped up on social media already, the conspiracy theory that this was staged, that Trump paid this person or someone within Trump's orbit paid this person, this deranged left-leaning lunatic who was claiming that Kamala Harris was going to win the election in all the swing states on social media, paid him to do this and to fail as thankfully as he did, as spectacularly as he did. He did take shots. He did hit one Secret Service officer. That individual is wearing a bulletproof vest, so they're going to be okay, which is amazing. Because I think it was a shotgun and some other weapons that were being used. But nonetheless, to get back to it, the amount of people on the left who think that it's okay to be crazily violent, not just toward the politicians they disagree with, not that that's okay, that's obviously horribly wrong. But a lot of people on the left say it's fine to hate other people, people that you might know in your everyday life and encounter if you find out that they voted for the wrong person. This is actually, in my opinion, the damage that's been done. This is kind of a crazy take, but the damage that has been done by social media and their silencing of one side of the political aisle, which happened for quite some time, it made a lot of people believe that they were in the vast majority in a tremendous amount of their opinions. It created a level of arrogance in those opinions that is now being demonstrated in how angry people seem to be that what they want is not being given to them. This is the toddler's version of, I want it now, how dare you say no to me? Just playing out with a bunch of adults throughout this country who are livid that President Trump actually did win the 2024 election, probably won the 2020 election, of course. I'll get into that maybe later on too. But nonetheless, even more so than that, won via the popular vote. These are the things that have made Democrats so mad, so upset that they want to do anything they can to circumvent the lawful version of our society that they usually advocate for. They just hate it when they lose. And you can tell how they lose, how disgusting it is. Let's play a little bit more of the president. He talked about how the No Kings rallies make no sense, and they're funded by organizations like ones that were recently indicted for some very bad stuff, the Southern Poverty Law Center among them, for funding the hate that they claim to be fighting. But here, this is President Trump on 60 Minutes talking about how these narratives take a hold, especially in the crazies. And I'll just remind everybody that this is exactly the kind of thing that the left screams and yells is wrong with the right whenever Trump himself says anything that they think is extreme, anything that they think is provocative. They'll yell and scream how it'll radicalize people on their side of the aisle. They claim we need to hide everyone who's transgender or gay or whatever because they think they're going to be rounded up and put in concentration camps. All of this part of the stuff that's in the manifesto too, all of it insane. All of it not necessarily, not even remotely, I should say, a thing that the right ever advocates for or talks about. But the left pretends as though there's a level of anger that they have to compete with by being even angrier. But here's Trump talking about the No Kings rally and all the funding and all the ways that this ecosystem of social media and mainstream media dominance has allowed the left to convince several of its supporters that violence is okay.
I see these No Kings, which are funded just like the Southern Law was funded. You saw all that. Southern Law is financing the KKK and lots of other radical, terrible groups. And then they go out and they say, oh, we've got to stop the KKK. And yet they give them hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars.
They were right.
It's a total scam run by the Democrats. It shows you that, like Charlottesville was all funded by the Southern Law. That was a Southern Law deal, too. And it was done to make me look bad, and it turned out to be a total fake. It basically was a rigged election. This was a part of the rigging of the election. Mm-hmm. And that's what you really should be doing. I mean, I hope one of your 60-minute episodes, which really hasn't changed very much from the last few years, I'm surprised, but one of those episodes should be on Southern Law and the fact that they spent millions and millions of dollars on absolute far right and just bad, bad groups. And then they...
Yeah, by the way, this is the president indicting, disavowing, saying the strong worded things that the left claims he never says about the radical far right groups that are hateful. within our society, the ones that the left is propping up, the ones that the left hopes for. This is honestly that there were totally fine people on both sides, a version of lying and deceit, where they're hoping for just that one a sentence that they can take fully out of context and pretend as though the right is as hateful, or people on the right, or President Trump himself is as hateful as they are, or even slightly less hateful, in all honesty. But this is crazy. There's one other thing I do want to play, just because I think it's great. The president said that he didn't want to leave, that he wanted the White House Correspondents' Dinner to keep going, that he essentially wanted to show the bullies of the world, whoever you are, however little of a person you are out there, you know, a person running at a security checkpoint, trying to shoot his way through to then get into an area where he could take the lives of a bunch of administration officials. Thank God none of that happened. But nonetheless, President Trump wants to stand up to these people. It's the fight, fight, fight thing playing out again. So he's asked the question, are you going to treat the press different? Are you going to shut up? Essentially is what the press is saying, because we want to blame you for the insane people who are trying to kill you. And Trump said, no, I'm not going to be doing that. He might change his speech that he was going to give at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but he's not going to change his calling out of the ridiculously unfair, one-sided version of society we have from media when it looks at things on the right versus things on the left. Here we go.
I saw a room that was just totally unified. It was, in one way, very beautiful.
Do you think this will change your relationship with the press?
Well, look, for whatever reason, we disagree on a lot of subjects. We talk about crime. I'm very strong on crime. It seems like the press isn't. It's not so much the press. It's the press plus the Democrats, because they're almost one and the same. It's like the craziest thing. I have the strongest border we've ever had in the country, where, as you know, it said zero people for 9 months came into our country through our southern border. We have a very tough...
And no one's talking about it. The point of that is that no one's having the conversation about the successes of this administration, because they don't want to. Yes, Democrats run the left. Democrats, by and large, seem to be in positions of power, and also all the other positions in a lot of mainstream news media places. If you went into a newsroom in any of these, even CBS, as Trump references earlier in some of the audio I played, and just asked the people there to be honest, what side of the political aisle do they support? By and large, almost all of them are going to say Democrats. It's been my experience anytime I've been in a newsroom of any kind that people there are overwhelmingly liberal. And of course they are. That's the only people they want to hire. And they'll fire anybody who has the wrong opinion, the opposite side opinion, as we've seen time and again. And it's creating this horrible society we have where people are trying to kill Trump. And then two immediate narratives emerge on the left. One calling it fake. It didn't happen. Or it was staged in some way, which is disgusting and typical conspiracy theory. Again, that the left also likes to shout down when it's not them saying it out loud. And then the other one is that it's fine, is that it's allowed, that Trump deserves to be attacked as many times as he's been attacked, which is also, of course, disgusting. But this other thing that keeps emerging more and more on the left, the amount of people who are fine with violence on their side of the aisle because they think it's justified, because they keep getting told that the right are full of Nazis. All right, we'll take a break. A lot to get to today, more than just this story, but this story will dominate the show, of course. Craig Collins filling in. This is The Dana Show. More in a bit.
As we roll towards headlines, and as we do so, the folks who make the program possible, it's the people over at Bernegun. I've told you before, I carry. I have no problem using lethal force. I also realize, too, that maybe sometimes you go to places where you are not permitted to carry private property, local or municipal restrictions, whatever it is. And so in that instance, you need to be able to diversify and have some means of protecting yourself. And this is where Bernegun comes in. There's different models. The one you need to look at is the Byrna CL compact launcher, roughly the size of an iPhone, easy target acquisition. Byrna shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. Easy to use, highly effective, no permits, no background checks. You order it online and it sends right to your front door, made right here in the US of A. And when you compare it to standard stun guns or tasers, they have maybe one or two rounds. The Byrna gun has a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge. So visit Byrna.com/Dana. Get your Byrna today. BYRNA.com/Dana. Ready when you are.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A lot of stuff to talk about. Dana Lash Radio on X is a great way to stay connected to her or any of her social media channels. Her team, and she does a great job on all that stuff. So check it out. There was a big stat that I shared kind of quickly to start the show about how 25% of liberal people think that political violence is okay if they're not getting what they want, if the right people aren't in charge, just kill the people who are. That's something that 25% of people on the left say they're fine with. If you're younger and if you're willing to describe yourself as very liberal, those numbers go up even higher. Which is terrifying. Just for your edification or for an example on the right, it's 3% of people that say political violence is ever okay. Now, there's a bigger thing to talk about here, and I just want to play a collection of different pieces of audio of left people saying crazy left things. Mostly this is, of course, media places. And we'll start with Kimmel. He's getting some of the biggest focus because this is real. You would think that this is like a Babylon Bee joke and not a reality that happened. But Jimmy Kimmel pretended to do a speech at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on his show before the actual White House Correspondents' Dinner, where someone tries to kill the current president and all of his staff and literally anyone else in the building. According to the manifesto, he would have taken the lives of wait staff if they got in his way. Thankfully, Secret Service stopped this man as he was trying to run through a checkpoint. He did shoot one person, but a bulletproof vest save the life of a Secret Service member. But here, let's play Jimmy Kimmel first, and then I got a collection of horrible other audio out there on the left and how they're pretending as though their rhetoric is not as insane and extreme as it actually is.
Our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
And people are laughing at that. How ridiculous is that, by the way, that you have the glow of an expectant widow? This is the joke that Kimmel is making, pretending to be the MC at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The First Lady responded to this on social media just recently. I think this was actually this morning after every horrible thing that happened over the weekend. And thankfully, no one was hurt and the suspect was apprehended. Kimmel's hateful and violent rhetoric, this is the First Lady on social media, is intended to divide our country. His monologue about my family isn't comedy. His words are corrosive and deepens the political sickness within America. People like Kimmel shouldn't have the opportunity to enter our homes each evening to spread hate. A coward, Kimmel hides behind ABC because he knows the network will keep running cover to protect him. Great by the First Lady to go ahead and say that Kimmel is a corrosive force in our society. Sadly, he is not alone. Here's a bunch of other pieces of audio. Jamie Raskin popped up on CNN, was asked about the strong, heated rhetoric, I think was the word used on the left, and he pretended he has no idea what it is.
And you have, as
many of your fellow Democrats have used some heated rhetoric against the president. And do you think twice about that when something like this happens?
But what rhetoric do you have in mind?
Just talking about some of the fact that he is terrible for this country and so on and so forth.
He's a Nazi. He's a king. He's got to be stopped at all costs. All of the things you say. You're pretending you don't know what the rhetoric is that's on the left. Jamie, let's play even more of it. Anna Navarro. She is talking. Hold on, Anna. She is talking about how the belief that this is staged is really all Trump's fault, that he, of course, is the problem because he lies and stuff. And that means that we should attempt to kill him, I guess. I don't know.
To me, that in a place that is teeming with Secret Service, with Washington, D.C. police, with all sorts of law enforcement, this could happen. But also, I think people jump to that conclusion that it is staged because Trump lies.
Oh, my God.
He lies constantly, daily, and pathologically.
I hate doing the whataboutisms because they're so easy in the political society we live in right now. But just think that if someone was, if there was an attempted killing of a Democrat, and then the rhetoric on the right started to be that it's the Democrats' fault, that they deserve this sort of thing, which never happens. But this is essentially the sentiment of people on the left. Anna Navarro saying Trump lies too much. That's why people are trying to kill him. Just envision a world where the left reacted to the right saying this if these roles are reversed. You know exactly how they would go, exactly what they would say, and they'd be enraged again. The left is looking for a reason to be angry enough to hurt you, which is insane. But here, more of this. This is another far lefty being a crazy person.
The driver said, "This is going to be really bad for you, but I don't think it will affect us." I said, "Well, you are wrong." Okay? Because the president of the United States, who that president is, affects the world. You know, this is not, you know, I know no one wants to think of the United States as powerful anymore, but now it's powerful in such a horrible way, you know? But the truth is, the president affects the whole world.
That's true. Exactly. You know?
I mean, this person who is a pipsqueak of a person, I mean, he's not a person, you know?
He's not
even a squirrel. And yet, he affects the whole world. I mean, a squirrel would be a much better president if he ran against a squirrel.
Fran Lebowski saying crazy stuff. He's not even a person is actually something that she said out loud, essentially meaning that killing him is totally fine, that taking him off the map is the kind of thing that it seems that they want to do. This is horrible. And then finally, and I mentioned this earlier, but I'll do it again. Hakeem Jeffries said maximum warfare everywhere all the time in response to President Trump just days before the third assassination attempt. And then they pretend as though they don't understand any of this. They pretend as though, man, it's bad when people get this angry, when people get this crazy. And honestly, you probably think of people that you know, or even a different way to say this, a way that I was thinking about a lot before the show today. Let's say that you're conservative. I'm 40 years old. So let's say you're about my age. And let's say you're raising some kids. And your kids, because of the indoctrination in our society, remember this third lunatic who tried to kill Trump was a teacher. And there's a lot of liberal teachers out there who infuse liberal beliefs into the things they tell your children in classrooms. But your kids are getting indoctrinated by mainstream media, by a lot of social media that curates its content to be on one side until things like Elon Musk buys Twitter and changes it so it's not as one-sided as it was before. But they're growing up in a world. And I know a lot of 20-somethings that I know this because I have nieces and nephews that age. But I know a lot of 20-somethings who not only act as though it's insane to be conservative, they hate their own parents for their political beliefs. They'll say things like, "Oh, you know, my mother, my father's the crazy Trumper that says these crazy, terrible things in our society." This is the indoctrination playing out. And as people get older and they're stuck in this world, this orbit, that forces them to think ideologically certain things and convinces them of the evil on the right, the No Kings rally that by and large is either paid protesters or a bunch of young people. The same young people who are saying free Palestine and I side with Hamas, the terrorist organization, instead of siding with Israel because I think that there's hate or something there that I can see that I've been told exists a bunch of places in our society. These young people grow up in this world and eventually become the 30-somethings who try to kill the president. This is what we're seeing more and more. And I just wonder what it would be like to be thinking about that every day as a parent. I don't have any kids, but if I did, thinking about how you protect them, how you infuse certain values in your children, regardless of their political belief. They don't have to vote conservative or Democratic to believe that something like murdering someone is wrong, especially if it's motivated by politics. This is something that's across the board wrong, and yet young liberal people don't think this. And so I was just wondering what it's like to deal with that version of influence, trying to take a hold of people you care about. Because we all know people who are far left, people who celebrate the Luigi Mangionis of the world, who say that this is the only way forward in our society. And honestly, I'll be specific about this. You're hearing more and more of this version of belief system, maybe not with the advocating for political violence, but the upending the system in whatever way we can thing. On the far right, I think Dana often refers to it to the new Reich that's out there. The crazy, you know, somewhat influential podcast people who advocate all kinds of insane stuff because they're so upset with how society is. Taking that anger and weaponizing it is one of the scariest things that could happen in our society because you do want people to be motivated to say vote to change the outcome of our political system. You want them to vote certain people into power. America first is something you hear a lot of people say because of the benefit of it, the benefit of having politicians that don't care more about themselves or some other place in the world that's cutting them a paycheck. They actually care about the people right here at home. That would be great if we had more of that. But there's that fine line between getting people motivated to vote and turning people into these insane individuals that want to take somebody's life. Because they're not getting what they want. They're not getting what they're told society should be after. It's profoundly interesting. And I don't mean to continue to harp on it all show today, but it's so hard to get away from it when you see certain polls saying how many people on the left are okay with political violence. I want to play one last thing, because I've actually heard people say how terrible the ballroom is. President Trump wants to build a ballroom. He's been trying to do it. Some courts are trying to stop him from doing it. And the whole point of the ballroom is to have a safe, fancy place to hold political events instead of having them at hotels that can be attacked the way that this hotel was attacked by an insane person. This obviously seems more valuable now, today, than it did a few days ago after the third attempt on the president's life. Trump also points out he's barely going to get to use the ballroom if it gets built in the time frame he'd like to see it built in, just a few months. Not only that, of course, this part of the White House would also reinforce what's underneath it, which would be even safer with better communication tools in case someone needs to go to a secure area during a moment of crisis. But let's play some audio of Trump talking about the ballroom, because I do think it's amazing that I've heard the left be up in arms, angry, upset about the idea of building a ballroom at the White House, which is causing them to be angry about everything. Because even Bill Maher said, who cares? Who cares? Why would you care at all about this? And more importantly, we kind of probably need this. Obviously, more so demonstrated now, as I said, than before. But nonetheless, like hearing someone be angry about this is thinking that they've been totally brainwashed to be angry about anything and everything they're told to be upset about, because realistically, it doesn't matter that much to your life or mine. And honestly, it now seems like a politically relevant thing to do. Here we go.
Really perfect facility built at the highest, highest security levels on the grounds where you're not taking, I'm talking about any president. By the way, other presidents will use the ballroom a lot more than me. I'm going to have 4 or 5 months left, but other presidents will be having the, you know, that tremendous asset is going to be so great. But
why not do it? And people are going to get mad and even accuse Trump of staging this entire thing because he wants to build the ballroom, which is insane. But again, this is what they convince the left to be mad about. Anything and everything that they think is on the side that they're not on. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
All right, folks. So I want to tell you about something that actually works. This is the world's number one expanding garden hose and their newest upgrade. It's the Pocket Hose Ballistic. I like anything that has the word ballistic after it. I don't have time for cheap, stupid equipment that fails after one season. I am done fighting with it. I'm done with the kinks, Eric Swalwell. I'm done with the tangles. I'm done with the leaks. I'm done with all of it. It's a waste of money. It's enraging. So that's why the pocket hose ballistic, that's why you need to have this thing, because it's built different. I could beat somebody to death with this. It's made, it's reinforced with a liquid crystal polymer. Now, you don't know what that is, but you do know what it's been used in before. Bulletproof vests. So that means, my friends, the strength is real. Real durability, no nonsense. It's not going to mess up your garden. It's not going to like tie a knot around you. If you're tired of replacing your cheap hose every year, this is your fix. The ballistic is lightweight. It's super easy to handle. And I like what comes with it. It comes with the pocket pivot. So no more fighting the spigot. And ladies, it's gold. Where it moves, you move, you move, it moves. It's so simple. It's smart. You're done. For a limited time, when you purchase a new pocket hose ballistic, you're going to get that free, you see it right here, 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. Just text Dana to 6430. That's Dana to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A whole lot of stuff out there to talk about. And yet the most dominant conversation has been some of the information we're learning about the person that tried to kill President Trump and anyone within his administration, or literally anyone that was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, because he believed that he was fighting the good fight against whoever the terrible, awful people are in our society that he hates so much, the fascists, the kings, all the things that they say that the right is that creates these lunatics on the left. Quite a few pieces of audio that demonstrate some of the sort of weird ways in which our society is indoctrinating so many, even in churches. James Tallarico, the far left individual who's running for the Senate seat in Texas, goes to one of the weirdest churches you will ever hear audio from. I'm going to play that a little bit later on because it's political advocacy during a mass, which is obviously wrong to a whole lot of us. But before we get there, let's play this audio. President Trump did a sit down with 60 Minutes. He was critical of the organization and how they're still pretty far left, even though the people in charge were supposed to be fixing some of that. But I thought this was interesting. When asked about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, President Trump is believed to have wanted to continue it on Saturday night and not cancel it after someone stormed it trying to kill him and other people and was caught apprehended at the one security checkpoint that existed before a set of stairs that would have gotten the individual into the ballroom where they could have hurt a lot of people. Nonetheless, Trump wanted to keep going. He didn't want to cower to bullies or people that have deranged desires in our society. And when asked about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Trump said, we're putting it on again soon. because fight is the kind of thing that so often is now tied to someone who's had three attempts at his life during the last 3 years. Here we go.
Well, I know the White House Correspondents Association very much appreciates you going last night and honoring a commitment to do it
again. I hope we're going to do it again. Nora, tell him to get it going, and we should do it within 30 days, and they'll have even more security, and they'll have bigger perimeter security. It'll be fine, but tell him to do it again. We can't let something be, it's not that I want to go. I'm very busy. I don't need that. I think it's very important that they do it again.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we do anything that someone tries to intimidate us away from doing. I think this is the kind of thing that often unites a lot of Americans, or at least it used to. Things like, I remember vividly President Bush's first pitch during a World Series game after the horrific events of 9/11 and all the discussion about whether or not, you know, baseball or anything else would be played. I don't actually think it was just during the World Series. I think that there was a first pitch right after these events happened in September. But anyway, the way in which we come together and not fall apart in our society, and how awesome those things are that bring, or at least are supposed to bring us together, although the world we live in now is strange compared to what it used to be. FBI Director Kash Patel was asked on Fox about the profile of the individual who was trying to kill Trump and anyone else in his orbit, a teacher out of California who seemed to be well-educated, whose friends and family would say that he's not necessarily someone they would have guessed would do something like this, although there were radical thoughts that the guy had for a while, a manifesto that he sent to his family shortly before he made an attempt. He was caught, by the way, if you're not up on this story, which I can't imagine anyone isn't. He wasn't killed. He shot one Secret Service officer who was okay because they were wearing a bulletproof vest. And we have the guy, and he's likely to be thrown in jail for the rest of his life for the attempt on the life of the president and anyone else. But here's Kash Patel talking about what they're likely to do moving forward security-wise, but actually before that, talk about the profile of the individual and how maybe the behavioral analysis unit that exists within the FBI needs to do a little bit different work next time. Here we go.
So, Kash, can you go into the profile of this person? I know you can't talk about the investigation, but was he on the Fed's radar before? Did y'all see the postings that he was making, that he was trying to come to the hotel? And is it true that there was an alert put out with a description of him, but he wasn't detected in the hotel?
So those are all things that the Bureau and our partners have been looking at. As to the Bureau, we have what's called a BAU, a Behavioral Analysis Unit. It's been made famous from past historical investigations. And those folks have been working all weekend. I received a full briefing yesterday morning from our BAU unit. What that does is not necessarily provide direct evidence to be utilized in court, but it examines what we have collected so far, to include emails, social media posts, things, witness interviews, interviews with people, family, friends, and neighbors, so we can provide a complete picture of this individual's mindset and intent when we make the presentment in court. And that's what we're going through right now and in the process of finalizing and
You know, it is amazing that a lot of mainstream media outlets and even the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, was claiming that we may never know the motive behind this individual. Kash Patel laying out all the ways the FBI will build that profile to, in a courtroom, demonstrate how politically motivated this attack was and how horrific, et cetera, the goals of this person were. But nonetheless, what I think is probably the most important about that discussion and about some of the back and forth that exists within the, you know, how does this happen? How do we miss certain signs thing is what you're saying. And I think President Trump said this too about family members reporting the individual and maybe needing to do it a little bit more strongly because of how many of these types of things they get all the time. The FBI hears all kinds of things from all kinds of people about how dangerous certain individuals are. And I think we just have to take more of those threats seriously. I think there's a chance that more of those get dismissed than they should in the society in which we currently live. And the version of data that you're seeing out there that claims that a whole lot of young far left people think that violence is okay. The radicalizing of individuals to support people like Luigi Mangione and think that this is the only way to get what we want. All right. Another thing out there, this is the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, talking about the entire Democratic Party and their pitch to voters to essentially hate Trump, to see him as an existential threat to the United States itself, all the crazy rhetoric that some on the left claim they don't have. Here's a little bit of that back and forth between Caroline Leavitt and the press about the Democratic narrative, the Democratic talking points that are radicalizing their supporters, a thing that they often accuse Trump of doing on the right, and all the ways in which they claim that they're afraid of violence from the right. But the only violence we're seeing is constantly coming from the left. Let's go ahead and hit play on this audio. Make sure it plays.
Perturbed individuals are led to believe these words are truth and then are inspired to act on it. I have a whole host of examples that we can share with you after. It is pages and pages of major Democrat Party elected officials saying, such as Rep. Hakeem Jeffries, just this April, this month, said, "We are in an era of maximum warfare everywhere all the time." Governor Josh Shapiro said heads need to roll within the administration. Senator Alex Padilla said people are, quote, dying because of fear and terror caused by the Trump administration. Senator Elizabeth Warren, President Trump is making the country look like a, quote, fascist state. Senator Adam Schiff saying President Trump using a dictator playbook. Senator Ed Markey calling President Trump a dictator, saying that this administration's actions are authoritarianism on steroids. Governor J.B. Pritzker, "Never before in my life have I called for mass protest disruptions. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace." You have
insane, obviously. And eventually you need some cooler heads to prevail on the Democratic side of the aisle, which they won't, because the most powerful question you can ask someone who repeats this crap that the politicians are saying is what's happened in your everyday life that makes you think that there's a dictator in office? What has changed? What can't you do when you walk outside in the society in which we currently live? And by the way, if you're here illegally, the law is simply being enforced against you now. You're not allowed to be here. So being removed from this country because you're not, supposed to be here in the first place is not having people's freedoms taken away. But anybody who's legally allowed to be in this country, because I think that's the first road they'd go, is, well, all the people who are being deported. What has changed for you? What's different now than was different a couple years ago, a couple months ago? And I don't mean what's better or worse as far as your daily life experience, because I think there's things that Trump has done that have improved our lives. The amount of violence in the world and in our country is down. The amount of violent crime is down significantly. These are things that matter. I'm not saying that things haven't changed, but what has truly made you believe that you live under a dictatorship, that your life is now no longer free the way it was before? And they can't answer that question because there's nothing that demonstrates any version of that. But here, I want to play one other piece of audio. This is insane. This is the pastor for James Tallarico, the Democrat running for the Senate seat in Texas, who was elected to a political position in Austin, which is far left in a state that is very far right, or, well, I think conservative more so than far right. I would actually describe a lot of Texas. I live here. I live in Houston, by the way. But anyway, I want to play this because this is a pastor giving a homily at a church, making it all about politics and actually referencing the assassination attempt. This is indoctrination. Like, there's no other term for it if it happens everywhere in your life. You see it on TV, you go to church and you hear it there, and you even hear the congregation laugh as he makes some sort of reference to people feeling torn as to whether or not a assassin trying to kill Trump is a good or a bad thing. It's surreal to hear some of this and to, again, understand that this is the pastor at a church, that James Tallarico, the Democratic politician in Texas, trying to be the senator, one more time saying it, actually attends.
You may know if you check the news at all, there was an assassination attempt. And I know a lot of people have mixed feelings. But it's really...
It is crazy that people who believe themselves to be of a faith of any kind at all, to be religious of any kind at all, would laugh at the reference to mixed feelings that I thought didn't exist, or at least shouldn't exist, in our society. Assassination attempts are wrong. There's no mixed feelings there. Continue.
Really, really important, if we are going to be the healing agents of the world, to realize that violence is not going to get rid of the problem that we have.
What?
I said last week, if violence could have gotten rid of racism, the Civil War would have worked. But if you look at the Bible Belt and the heart of the MAGA movement, it is the Confederacy. The America they want to get back to is the Confederate States of America, not the United States of America.
I already got to say, I can't play any more of it. There's more and it's ridiculous, but it's so insane. I'll tell you this. I have a radio show in Houston at KSEV Radio. I do a show in the evenings there, or the early afternoon, I guess. Whatever. But anyway, we get callers occasionally that profoundly disagree, and we like to take them at the radio station where we're at. We like to put them on the air and talk to them. And I hear a bunch of these callers say these crazy things, say that they think they need to protect transgender or gay people from being put in concentration camps because that's something the right wants to do, or any version of fear-monger scare tactic convincing their supporters that the right is some evil, terrible group of people that want to return us to the days in which we were fighting over slavery. Like that's the real thing they say. And it's so far from reality. It's so far from the truth that it can't be received from paying attention to what the right is saying. The only way it can be received is paying attention to what the left claims the right is saying and not even checking remotely to see what the right actually says, to see what conservatives actually are preaching to the people that are voting for their side of the aisle. And it's weird to use the word preaching because that was a pastor who was giving a political sermon in a church. But anyway, it the only way that you believe that the right is doing the stuff that these crazy lunatics on the left believe it is if you're only listening to the left and what they claim to be the ideas on the conservative side of the aisle. And there's something so inherently dangerous about people who are that willing to be that naive that the answer to that is begging people to use their brains even a little bit and check some of these claims to make sure they're legitimate, which a whole lot of people don't do. All right, we got to take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Chapter wants to cut through the noise and the confusion that is so pervasive when you're dealing with Medicare, because if you're on it or if you are about to start the process, I mean, you got to go to a government site or you can go to some rando insurance agent and then kind of cross your fingers and hope that everything that you need covered is covered. But usually that's not the case. Medicare is confusing on purpose. And that's how exactly, by the way, how people end up in the wrong plan, overpaying and undercovered. You got to find somebody truly on your side that matters. And that's what Chapter exists to do. Instead of selling you on just a couple of companies, they are the only advisor in the game that compares every single Medicare plan nationwide to find out what actually fits your doctors and your prescriptions and your budget. It's an honest translator for Medicare. Chapter explains your options in plain English, and they help you avoid plans that are great for insurance companies, terrible for you. So people on average who work with Chapter, they save over about $1,100 a month plus on healthcare costs just by getting onto the right plan instead of whatever was pushed at them. It's free and fast to talk to Chapter, and in under 20 minutes, they can review your current coverage or walk you through your choices if you're about to enroll, so you know what you're going to pick and why. And whether you're already on it or getting close, they'll answer your questions, explain enrollment, and you'll walk away feeling confident and know exactly where you're at instead of overwhelmed and confused. So take control of your Medicare. Dial #250 on your phone and say the words My Medicare. That's #250. Say the words My Medicare and get your options reviewed with Chapter.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The Blue Square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. Obviously, the biggest conversation today, probably something that you've talked about with friends and family at some point because of how ridiculous it is the third assassination attempt on the current president of the United States, Donald Trump, over the weekend at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. There's a lot of avenues for how to attack the significance of this topic in the world, in our country, what we do next, how we adjust the crazy rhetoric or the indoctrination, as I'm going to call it, that exists for so many people on the left. Through mainstream media, social media, whatever the experience might be. One of the more valuable things to talk about, though, is all of the archived tweets, all of the information that the insane lunatic person, far left person, I'm not saying his name on purpose, that tried to kill Trump actually believed. All of these seem to be the reason that a person who had a good education that seemed to be relatively harmless to most of the people around him winds up being someone who's radicalized enough to storm a White House Correspondents' Dinner at a hotel, book a room in that hotel to get around as much security as he possibly could, and then, you know, be willing to kill anybody, as his manifesto said. He was willing to take any life he wanted, any life he had to, in order to try to kill the president and anyone within his administration. But the reason I really think that this is a topic that we should keep talking about, and there's another way to go about this, is a really interesting interview that went viral on Bill Maher's podcast that has nothing to do with the White House Correspondents' Dinner or the third attempt on Trump's life. I assume because when this is taped, this hadn't happened yet. It's with a comedian, an actor, a far left lunatic named David Cross. And I just think it's so good. One part of how this back and forth debate goes, and the thing that Maher accuses Cross of existing within the bubble of his own life, because I think this is at the heart of all this stuff we're seeing, is these people fall into these crazy reinforcement bubbles of thinking that anger and rage are okay, and that, you know, political violence is okay, and that Trump is a Nazi king and not a duly elected president of our country. And I just think that these are the ways that we get from point A to point B. So let's play a little bit of this audio. Them talking not at all about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but I believe, and the only reason that Cross, the comedian, on this piece of audio is at all receptive to what Bill Maher is saying is because Cross thinks that he's also a lefty crazy person, or at least a Democrat to some extent. And you'll hear in the audio that there's still like questioning or disbelief. But I think it's interesting because if someone on the right were saying these same things to their friend who's on the left, there'd be no willingness to listen, no willingness to hear this. But because it seems like it's coming from a friendly voice, there's that regular level of openness that society probably needs to have conversations in general from one side of the political aisle to the other. But here we go.
I mean, I'm politically more Democrat socialist, I believe.
He's socialist. Again, I think you're plainly then you're to the left of me if you even say you're a socialist.
Well, I said democratic socialist.
I know, but that I know a democratic socialist is that Mondami, who's a straight up communist.
No, he's not.
Yeah, yes, he is. By the way, I'm going to play more of this. I love the beginning part here. He goes, "I didn't say socialist. I said democratic socialist, which is communist to a whole lot of people based on the belief system." And honestly, if you actually look it up, just quickly, a democratic socialist believes in a slower walk to communism than a straight up communist does. They want to work within the system to get us closer and closer to inevitable communism. That's actually within the belief system of the democratic socialist. Continue, sir.
Hey, he has someone working.
Bill.
He is, first of all.
Okay.
He has someone working for him named Sia Weaver.
Okay.
Have you read about her?
I have not.
See, that means you're in a bubble.
Okay.
Excellent.
Because you should have.
Okay.
Okay,
so
let me tell you who she is. She's like one of his top lieutenants.
All right, so I want to stop it. I'm going to let him tell you who this person is, who is a part of the Mamdani team. But nonetheless, I love the fact that in this conversation, you can clearly hear David Cross, a guy who just described himself as a democratic socialist because of the popularity of it on his side of the political aisle right now. He never would have used that term a few years ago. He uses it now because people like Mamdani say it. And then as he's doing it, he goes, all right, fine, edify me. Tell me how these people are actually crazy and communist. And Mark crushes it. But this is a conversation that is impossible. If you walk in and say, I'm a conservative, you're a Democrat, and say identical things. If you say the exact same words, the exact same way, the person on the left will hear you and think to themselves, lies, racism, sexism, something. It has to be something because you're hateful and terrible. This is one of the biggest flaws in the current version of our political society. But continue.
He's had his big issue was the rent's too high.
Mm-hmm.
She's the head of, like, we're going to fix housing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like what got him elected. He has not disavowed her, and I could show you all her tweets that she's put out over the last few years and quotes. And one of them is, elect more communists.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you have to read between the lines.
You
if
do not.
Somebody he stands with and by is saying, and also her other quotes are like, all home ownership is racist.
Well, that's even ridiculous.
See, there you go. And here's what I love about this is the person who's on the same side as David Cross, at least to David Cross, says the thing that I would say in response to why Mamdani is so dangerous in our society and why the people around him are so dangerous. And he goes, well, that's obviously ridiculous. But if I had said that to him, he would have thought that it was a lie, that it can't possibly be true. And yet it is. This person and several other people around Mamdani are as insane as he is and his own rhetoric. I mean, the other version of this discussion is to say that people like Kamala Harris, before she doesn't win any primaries and becomes the candidate that is actually running for the role of the president of the United States from the Democratic Party, that's a whole lot more communism and, you know, terrible things than the democratic society that they want to say we live in all the time, you know, the constitutional republic in which we actually live. But nonetheless, what I think is amazing about it is they try to change their insane positions to sound slightly less insane, to sound a little bit more in the middle. It doesn't mean that any of their ideas or beliefs have actually changed. They just want to pretend they didn't say the radical stuff that Harris said to get elected in California, or people like James Talrico say. James Talrico, who gets elected in Austin in Texas, is someone that is about as crazy and far out there as anybody can possibly be. Talrico has said negative things about the church. He said negative things about all kinds of people in our society and then pretends to be a moderate. I think he said, like, God is non-binary, and as one of the many things that he said that's just truly insane. But then you try to run for office like the Senate seat in Texas, and you want to pretend as though you're more in the middle. And then if you're Mamdani in New York, you surround yourself with all the people who believe all the things that you believe, all the things that you can't say out loud anymore, and you let them go ahead and do those things, and you turn these people, these individuals like the person that stormed the White House Correspondents' Dinner, into people that believe that they're righteous. They believe that they're being called to protect our society. They say this. This is a weird transition, but I can't help it. I think it's kind of fascinating. The reason that you see so many female, hardcore, lefty people out there, especially people, say, in their 20s to 40s or 50s, that wind up being highly liberal. This is much more a thing that you see in women than in men, for whatever reason, is that you take advantage of the motherly instinct to protect the weak, that you convince somebody that what they're doing, that the calling that they have in society, and this is the crazy stuff that this teacher, this guy who stormed the White House said in his manifesto, that he wasn't fighting because he was in any way persecuted or being treated unfairly, but he believed other people in society were, and he could no longer tolerate it. So he had to attack the White House Correspondents' Dinner and say that he was willing to kill anybody in his way to kill the administration officials within the Trump administration. Of course, Trump being the primary target. But you believe that what you're doing is protecting someone, some invisible person that you can't see, that you believe exists. And what's amazing about it, and this is probably at the heart of the true problem, and the idiots like David Cross who are out there proudly saying they're democratic socialists right now, even when confronted with the idea that what you're saying is completely wrong, you refuse to accept it if the messenger isn't who you want it to be. And this can be as crazy as when, you know, the leader of Venezuela has removed Maduro, and you hear a bunch of lefties saying how terrible and awful that is and how Trump stepped over a line. And then you hear people from Venezuela saying that it's great, that they're thrilled about it, and the left ignores it. There was protest after protest in places like New York City where people showed up that were predominantly not Venezuelan. I don't think you even saw any people there that were from that country or connected to that country that were saying, you know, this is a king moment and no kings and it's terrible and awful. And then you'd have a Venezuelan standing off to the side getting interviewed by podcasters, by independent journalists that were saying, you know what, actually, I'm really happy about this. That guy was a dictator who killed a lot of our people and it was terrible. And it's awesome that the United States decided to remove him from power. Or what's going on in Iran. A lot of people from Iran are saying, yeah, there's no value in keeping our current political system intact the way it is because it's hurting us. They don't care about us at all. Hamas, another example of this. These individuals that are so radicalized on the left cannot be confronted with facts. Because I bet you David Cross even walked out of this conversation with Bill Maher being like, wow, Bill Maher's more of an idiot than I thought he was. Even if in the moment he seems like he's agreeing with him, I bet you at some point his left indoctrination brain rejected this idea, threw it out completely and said, no, you know what? I'm right and he's wrong. Because you see this all the time. And again, they've designed the system to take advantage of people who are willing to believe that what they're doing is protecting someone, even if the person that they think they're protecting is saying out loud themselves, I'm happy with what's happening. I need no protection. Stop, you know, claiming as though you're speaking for me. The left ignores those people and tells them to shut up, no matter who they are, which is just sort of insane. But I do think these tie so beautifully together, and probably the biggest reason that the Bill Maher audio with a comedian you've probably never heard of is going as viral as it's going right now. Because it's a perfect example of the blind spots that that intentionally exist that mainstream media is creating for people who then become radical enough to want to hurt someone else. A quick break, a lot more. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Can't do it without our partners. We're capitalists, our friends over at Ghostbed. This is, oh my gosh, the most comfortable mattress possible. And I notice the difference, like when I work out and I'm really sore that day, especially if it's leg day, good heavens. And then I lay down on my mattress, my old mattress. I just could not get comfortable at all. It was horrible. I am so much more rested and recovered the next morning. And I notice it again after last leg day. I just was so much more comfortable and I rested so much more than I did previously. That's what your mattress is supposed to do. And that's how Ghostbed builds mattresses. They build engineered sleep systems that function like a piece of health equipment, because that's really what it is. It's designed for relief and recovery, not just for floofy looks and to put pillows on, right? Your body should be healing while you sleep, should be recovering, resting, not fighting all night long to get comfortable. And you will notice the difference right away. You're going to notice it before you even sleep on it, because it's just constructed better. But it's also less tension, better temperature, no more waking up. So if these are all problems that you deal with, you know, sleeping hot, tossing and turning, that's not, you know, either because you really are sore from the gym or because you're getting older. That could be your mattress. So switch to Ghostbed. You get 101 nights to try it at home. And if you don't feel the difference, you can send it back risk-free. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana. They're offering all of my audience out there their lowest prices of the season, plus an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for Quick Five on the Dana Show. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. A great ways to stay connected to her at Radio Craig C. If for some reason you want to follow me and the small amount of people who do that, I have to try more. I'm never going to reach Dana level of social media awesomeness, but I have to try a little harder. All right, let's play this. This is a crazy story out of Louisiana. A Chinese restaurant had fresh roadkill inside of its freezer. I think they were claiming that somebody who worked there wanted the roadkill for themselves. They weren't going to serve the roadkill to people, of course. But this is the terrifying thing your brain thinks when you go into certain restaurants. I think especially some Chinese restaurants that are going for authentic because of the food they eat in that country and how terrifying some of that is. But all right, let's play some audio of, I think this is a wildlife permits coordinator talking about how this is not allowed. You can't do this.
Is it spore, you know, heat, moisture, and bacterial growth are the main causes of meat spoilage. You know, ideally, you want that meat to be stored at 40 degrees or less. The longer it's there, our moist, humid environment lends itself to bacterial growth. So that's going to be the primary concern. You have to contact LDWF and ask for that authorization. Illegal possession of a deer, which would be possession from roadkill, essentially, is a class 4 violation in Louisiana.
This guy is rolling right through the discussion about the fact that it's a Chinese restaurant that had the roadkill there and whether or not they intended to serve it to humans or to people or just themselves. Of course, they're also human. I don't know how to take that. But I love that the roadkill guy with the wildlife is like, well, you need a permit to do that at least. Probably you shouldn't do that in a restaurant, though. Another story out there that I really liked, the 10 fast food places that men like best compared to women. We're running out of time, so we probably won't have a lot of time to do this. But men seem to prefer the quick and easy stuff. The McDonald's of the world, the Burger King, Taco Bell, Wendy's. Women had a higher preference for some of the fancier things. I love that I just called some fast food fancier. Chick-fil-A, KFC, a Dairy Queen. These are things that take a little bit longer to cook. The food, then say what the men seem to prefer. I love that. Popeyes was also a unique selection for men in the top 10 that did not appear in the women's top 10 list. And if you were of a certain age, you seemed to prefer some restaurants to others. McDonald's is one that went across the board, though, although people of a certain generation like it more. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Do you know what drives women crazy about most makeup? It doesn't make you look like you. It makes you look overdone, like you're wearing a mask. Women are so fed up with products that cake on and make you look less like yourself. And that is why so many are reaching for Jones Road Beauty's Miracle Balm. It's super simple. You just warm it up with your fingertips. You tap it on your cheeks, your lips, even your eyelids, and you're done. It looks like your skin. Your skin looks like your skin, just better. And it replaces everything. Highlighter, bronzer, your blush, your lip tint. One jar. That's it. No brushes. No 20 trillion step influencer routine. This is what you use when real life is happening. Busy mornings and travel and post-workout, when you just want to look put together without looking like you're trying too hard. And it feels like, you know, lightweight, clean, and easy. So for a limited time, you can get a free shimmer face oil with your first purchase using code Dana. Go to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code Dana. So that's a free shimmer face oil with your first purchase by visiting jonesroadbeauty.com. Use code Dana. And when they ask you where you heard about it, tell them I sent you.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff out there to talk about, but let's have a little bit of fun. A infomercial went viral because it's from 1990, and it was featuring actors pretending to be a family, showing how easy it was to get online in 1990 compared to today. Now, a lot of people actually remember what it was like to get on the first versions of the internet, the dial-up version, in which you'd take over somebody's phone in your house if you had two lines, and then somebody would yell at you if they wanted to use that phone, et cetera, et cetera. But here, I want to play this because this actually made a lot of people laugh, and it's just kind of a nice thing to remember, especially for all those young people who have no idea how hard it was to get on the internet, or even life when the internet didn't exist at all, because that was also a thing for so many of us. But here we go.
The browser is the application that allows you to view all of the information on the web.
Sometimes you can get it free from your ISP, or a friend can download it for you on a disk.
You can also buy a browser or download one from the internet.
You might want to explain what it means to download.
It means to transfer a file of information from a main computer or server to your computer.
Uh-huh. And it's easy to do, too. Even I know how. You can download games or anything.
Now you need to connect your ISP. You click on the icon and then choose Connect.
You can hear it dialing. Sounds weird, huh?
And now we're online.
I gotta love that last part. Sounds weird, huh? Once you hear the dialing and all the noises, then you know you're online. One of the greatest sounds in the world for a kid when you first start getting on the internet and doing all kinds of things, playing video games and whatnot, just going on weird message boards and finding out stuff that you didn't know about how to beat said video games is one of the things I did a lot. Another piece of audio that went viral. This is a waitress on TikTok talking about a table that sent a steak back 6 times at a restaurant. Not a good move. I think if you send something back once and it doesn't come back the way you want it, you give up. You can either choose to just leave, say, you know what, this still isn't right, and we'd rather not stay anymore if you want to be a jerk, or consume it. If it's edible food, that's what I would do. I might try to send something back once. I don't think I'd send it back 6 times. This, as I said, doesn't go well for anybody involved. The waitress said a lot of bad words on social media. This is the cleaned up version.
Food comes out. Before everybody's food can even get set on the table, one of the ladies is already complaining that her food is overcooked. Get her a new steak. She complains about that one. I get her a third steak. She complains about the third steak. Now she's complaining about her daughter's steak. Recook on that one. We now have like six recooks at this point. My other manager has to go out and tell them, unfortunately, we cannot give you another steak. Gets all up in my manager's face. Things start getting thrown. They're flipping plates over. They're pouring drinks everywhere. The cops get called. What is happening?
I do love the enthusiasm of the waitress who went through all this, because I can tell you what was happening. The people wanted free food. They didn't want you to keep remaking their steaks. They just wanted free stuff. They want to be like, you know what? We'll comp the meal. Please go ahead and consume it. It sounds like they didn't do that. Sound like the restaurant kept making new food, and that wasn't the right answer for the people that just wanted their stuff to be free, darn it. And so when that happens, even though it seems like you're going above and beyond, it's the exact opposite. I know that a lot of customer service has become terrible, that many people no longer seem to understand the message that by and large, the customer is always right. But there are times where the customer is wrong, and sending back six meals, that's wrong. Again, I think that the best thing you could do if you were these people and you really thought the food was this incorrect this many times, is just leave. Don't ask for the stuff to be free. I wouldn't necessarily pay for anything you might have consumed so far, but just walk out. Just be like, you know what? I'm done. This isn't right. I want to go. Don't keep asking for free thing after free thing and then expecting it to be better. And then, of course, I obviously think that you're just lying and the food was more than acceptable and you just wanted it to be free. One last story that I thought was interesting. We won't have time today. Maybe we'll pick it up again tomorrow. The Delta CEO said that he's not dropping prices after gas prices go down because if you're paying them once, you're paying them forever. A lot of people were mad about that. I'll talk about that more next time. Craig Holland's filling in on The Dana Show.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler Cast Iron Ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.